Malachi 3, Mark 1, Luke 1. Malachi 3, Mark 1, Luke 1. Sure appreciate the opportunity. When you know you're not preaching, it's a blessing because you can really enjoy. When you know you are preaching, it's a blessing because you can be ready. When you don't know if you are or you aren't, I don't know what it is. Amen. Amen, yeah. Malachi chapter 3, Mark 1, Luke 1. Father, thank you for your word today. Lord, pray you'd still my heart. Help these people, Lord. And Lord, early we'll seek you. And Lord, we had good breakfast here this morning, good fellowship with you, just a wonderful summer day. I pray you'd bless your word to your people in Jesus' name. Amen. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, Mark 1. Mark 1, chapter 1, verse 1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, it is written in the prophets, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Luke 1. Luke 1 and verse 76. Speaking of John, And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people for the remission of their sins. John the Baptist was a forerunner to Jesus Christ, sort of like a press secretary before a big shot comes to town, and he's called a messenger. He wasn't that light. He wasn't Jesus Christ, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. And although we that rightly divide, we know that John's message before the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ was not necessarily the exact same message that we preach today in the gospel and the church age. There is a lot that we could learn from this messenger. So I want to talk about the making of a messenger just a little bit. A lot of things we could look at as we look at John the Baptist here. We could learn of the message of the messenger, and what part of his message was to repent. And that is a lost message today. I mean, that message to tell people to repent, to turn from sin and turn to Christ, actually splits churches today. I think there's a website out there. I know we're on it, the blacklist of churches that preach repentance, God forbid. We could talk about the mask of the messenger. John hid behind Jesus Christ. John's ministry was not about him. It was about Jesus Christ. He said, I am not the Christ. He said, I am not worthy to unloose his shoes. He said, he must increase and I must decrease. We could talk about the manhood of the messenger. He wasn't a preacherette that smoked cigarettes and preached sermonettes with skinny jeans and basketball stockings. He was a man sent from God whose name was John. And didn't care what anybody thought, didn't care what the consequences of preaching on sin did. We could talk about the melancholy of the messenger and the fact that John went through a time in his ministry when he said, Art thou he? Or do we look for another? And I'm not sure there's any man of God that sometimes comes to the point, man, you had a great idea and it was out of the oven of heaven. And then you're wondering, is God in this thing? Or not. But I want to look at just one element this morning in the making of a messenger, because we are messengers. Don't we carry the message of the best news that this world has ever heard? The moratorium of the messenger. A moratorium is a temporary prohibition of an activity, a suspension, a postponement, a halt, a freeze, a standstill, a hiatus, and a delay. And know what you'll find in the Bible and in life? You'll find that there are seeming delays in the plan of God for our lives a moratorium when things seem like they're not going forward. And that's a time when you can get ahead of God, you can get behind God, you can walk away from God, you can doubt God and really mess up God's plan for your life. Here's the good news. He is working in the moratorium as much as He is working in the manifestation of His plan for your life. He works on the sidelines as much as He did in the showing. And we'll look what happened. So I want to look at John and Jesus and some others. And I don't want to look at the times when they were doing. I want to look at the times that they were not doing. The time between the proclamation, the promises that the Lord said, I'm going to use you mightily, and the fulfillment of that. And we read in Luke chapter 1, we're going to about to read some very exciting proclamations by the angel of the Lord. Listen, these people have been in 400 years of silence. No prophet, no priest, no open vision. The religious system is a mess. And finally, after four centuries, God will speak again. And He's going to proclaim some precious promises to two young couples, very similar in many ways. Joseph and Mary, the supposed parents of Jesus Christ. A miraculous virgin birth is going to be announced. And then Zacharias and Elizabeth, John the Baptist's parents. A miraculous birth, not as miraculous as the virgin birth, but to an older couple that was well stricken in age. Mary and Elizabeth were cousins. That makes John and Jesus cousins. Now look at chapter 1 and verse 5. Chapter 1 of Luke, in verse 5. We'll just read down through there. There was in the days of Herod a king named king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron. Her name was Elizabeth. They were both righteous before God, walking all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless, even though the religious system was shot. That means we can walk in all the commandments of the Lord blameless, and we can still preach, and we can still live for God in spite of the fact that everything is shot. Amen? All right. And they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and both now well stricken years. It came to pass that while he executed the priest's office, he's still serving God in spite of everything being shot. Amen? Before God, in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. Not a big deal, but he was faithful in what he did. The whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense, and there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of an altar, just going through the motions of ministry day in, day out, and all of a sudden God shows up. When Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. Thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son. Thou shalt call his name John, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice in his birth, and he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. That'll mess your doctrine up. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now that's exciting. After 400 years of nothing, God is sending a visible messenger with an audible voice straight from heaven concerning some very exciting news, very encouraging news about births. Two births, two big births are about to happen, and what God has in store for these boys. But the question this morning is not what necessarily the news is when is this going to come to pass? 30 years. In 30 years, God would fulfill. Outside of the births, you're going to have a birth, then you're going to have a moratorium of 30 years. Now, does that make sense to you? We who pride ourselves in our Google calendars, in our day timers, in our Siri reminders, in our workflowies, who list our goals and accomplishments, to reveal something so clearly, to get everybody so excited and all worked up after 400 years of nothing, and then say, oh, by the way, it'll be in 30 more years. But brethren, that's the nature of our God. He's never in a hurry, but he's always right on time. We see it in the Bible. Abraham, you're going to have a son. Oh boy, how excited. My wife's barren. I've waited all this time. And I don't know how much the Hagar thing had to do with the delay, but when's it come to pass? 13 years. But he waited. You know what it says in Luke chapter 1, verse 80? Let's look at the moratorium. Let's look at when John wasn't doing what God was doing. Verse 80. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his showing to Israel. So this morning I want to talk a little bit, and maybe you need it this morning. Wax while you wait. Wax while you wait, because look at 240. Now we're going to look at his cousin. Look at almost the identical words. You're talking about this miraculous birth and then a time of 30 years. Verse 40, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit. You know what he was doing? Waxing while he was waiting. Waxing is not polishing the car. It's Old English. It's growing. It's increasing. It's becoming. Where did John grow? In the wilderness. Let me ask you, what are you waiting for this morning? You waiting? Some of you young people waiting for a spouse? You waiting for a baby? You waiting for a ministry? You waiting for a promotion? You waiting for a break? You waiting for something to happen in your ministry? You waiting for healing? You waiting for a meeting? You're waiting to get to the field? Wax while you wait. Because God, in God's work, the waiting is as much of His work as the work is of His work. Joseph, your brothers are going to bow down to you one day. About time I'm going to get some respect around here. When, Lord? Boys, let me tell you this. When, Lord? 60 years from now. You know what he did? He waxed while he waited. David, I'm going to anoint you king. Oh, boy. When do I take the throne? About 15 years. 15 years. How'd you like God telling you, son, you're going to preach? When? 15 years. You that maybe can't have children, you're going to have a child. When? 15 years. What do you do while you're waiting? You wax while you wait. Daniel, you're going into captivity in a heathen nation. What can Daniel do in captivity in a heathen nation that can possibly be profitable to God? The same thing we can do in a heathen nation that can be profitable to God, to wax while we wait for Him. Paul and Silas, they're supposed to be preaching. Instead, they're in the prison. What are they doing? Waxing while they wait, praising God while they wait. Look at Luke chapter 1. Verse 18, and Zechariah said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man. My wife is well stricken in years. Fair question. The angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God. And I am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee glad tidings. But behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words. Man, I'm glad God's not hard like that. Which thou shalt be fulfilled in their season. The people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. You know what? He wanted to speak for God, but he couldn't. Part of it, yes, of his own doing. But you know what he did? He continued to minister in the temple nonetheless. Look at verse 23. Came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished. See, he kept serving. Well, I ought to be preaching. God wants me to say something. And that devil will mess with you. That pastor's holding you back, you know. So you're going to get up and say that God called you a mile up the road to start the second Hope Baptist Church. He kept serving. Verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at this saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, bring forth a son, shall call his name Jesus. You love the Bible this morning. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever and ever. And his kingdom will have no end. Man, that's exciting after 400 years of nothing. She said, I got to go see Elizabeth. This is exciting. And they get together and John leaps in the womb. And man, what news this is. When's it all going to happen? In about 30 years. Zacharias does all this prophesying and it says he was old and well stricken in age before John came. Let me ask you a question. What is old and well stricken in age plus 30 years? We have no record of John or Elizabeth ever seeing the fulfillment of the promise that God gave to them. And listen, this is why it's crucial that we glorify Him in the moratorium while we are waiting for the promises to come to pass, because you may die in faith not having received the promise. But we must be persuaded of Him, and that's how we confess that we are strangers and pilgrims in the earth. Listen, the only message that we may ever give is our lives during the moratorium. They praised God, they believed God, and maybe never saw it come to pass. We sure believe that Joseph, the stepfather of Jesus, did not see it. So what am I going to do? Sit and waste all my time looking for the fulfillment, looking for the promise, looking for the answer to prayer when I may not even see that. If we only glorify God in the milestones, what's going to happen in the miles? We want to glorify Him in the fires. What are you waiting for today? Are you waxing while you wait? Are you growing while you wait? I think about Zacharias and Elizabeth when they were alive and John growing up. I picture him, her pushing him through the carriage at the market and people staring and remembering, hey, that's the one. And little Johnny getting a little bit older and coming home and said, Mom, one of the boys at school told me that his mom told him that when you were pregnant with me, that something happened and Dad couldn't speak for 9 months. And that I'm supposed to be a prophet and come ahead of cousin Jesus. And he's going to deliver us from Rome. And I see Elizabeth and Zacharias and just confirming, yes, son, you're going to be a prophet. You're going to be a prophet. Don't ever forget it. You're going to be a prophet. And I see him turning 18. Blowing out the birthday candles. Certainly 18. This must be the time. Nothing. And then I see him. Dad, are you sure? Maybe there is no dad now. Studying the Old Testament. Certainly the children of Israel at 20 years old. That was a special age when they could go to war. 20 years old. Nothing. And 21 and 22 and 24 and 26 and 28. Nothing. He knew what God's will was for his life. He just didn't know when. But that Bible said the child waxed strong in spirit. What are you waiting for? Go to Isaiah 8. Isaiah 8. What are you waiting for? Are you growing while you wait or are you groaning while you wait? And none of life will be complete. You're going to waste your life. None of your ministry will be complete until you're going to waste your ministry. Isaiah 8:17. This is beautiful. And I will wait upon the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob. Watch it. And I will look for him.
You know what you do while you're waiting? You know how you wax while you're waiting? You look for Him. I got to find Him while I wait. And I wonder if John got to thinking, man, Mom's gone, Dad's gone, and I'm 20, I'm 21, there's nothing happened. You know, Moses, he found God out in the wilderness. And David met Him on the run. And Daniel got confirmation in captivity. And Elijah was out there by the brook. And Shadrach and the boys saw Him. And he checked out. And he went in the wilderness. And you know what it said? It said in John, he said, "And I knew him not." Didn't know his, which is strange, isn't it? That's his cousin. "I didn't know him. But the same that said unto me, upon whom thou see the Spirit descending, this is he of whom I spake." You know what? Him and God had something going in the wilderness. Because he waxed while he waited instead of whined while he waited. And then it said, when he was in the wilderness, the Word of God came to John. You know what he learned? He learned God is not in a hurry. He's always right on time. And the waiting in the wilderness part is as much of the fulfillment of God's will for your life as the manifestation and the showing. There's another element concerning God's timing in our lives that sometimes we think God is unfair. It took 30 years of buildup for John's ministry. A promise, a waxing, time to preach, time to do it. And it looks like it lasted about 2 years. I mean, it's like Thanksgiving dinner. All that preparation, and then bam. Obviously, God didn't take a course in time management. Young lady raised in church, all she wants to be is a mom. Can't have children. Does that seem... Hey, honey, what was that brother's name that we supported and went to the mission field and got shot after 1 month? Hesco? 1 month? A life of preparation. Preparing his family, preparing his wife, preparing his life, preparing his ministry. And the call of God and deputation, all that money and all that time. And he gets there. And some 1 month later, he gets taken out. Listen, we don't know what's coming. The thing is, we got to glorify God. Whether we're waiting or whether we're manifesting. And how he does it is his business. And you know what you're going to find? You're going to find that when he fulfills maybe that promise or maybe that calling or maybe that answer to prayer, you're going to find that what you gained when you were waiting, now you're going to draw on that when it is the manifestation of His will for your life. In fact, you might long for those times again. When the baby's not screaming at 2 a.m. and throwing up and colic and all that, that you desperately cry. You may long for the quiet away from the thronging congregation. I heard a preacher say last week, I read that verse. He says, you're going to give authority over cities in the millennium. He said, I've been to have authority over people in the church for 30 years. I don't want no more authority. You may long for the quiet time. You may be surprised about that thronging congregation that's not all it's cracked up to be, hunting you down. Corporate meetings and punching the clock that you wanted that job so desperately and fixing the furnace on the American nightmare that you just knew was the will of God. You better get all the water you can while you're waiting. Young people waiting on that marriage, waiting on that spouse. You better fill yourself with God now because there's going to be times when you can't get it if you want to. What are you waiting for? Psalm 25 says, "Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed." That's important. That's important. Listen, the waiting time is when you get a hold of God. You fill yourself with the Word of God and you strengthen yourself. And other people are going to look and say, "Man, how come all your friends are married and you're not? What are you waiting on?" God. I'll give you a practical thing to just don't ever ask a young couple, "What are you waiting for?" Maybe they're waiting for God and waiting for stupid people like you not to ask them questions like that. Don't be ashamed while you wait. "Oh, brother, you surrendered 10 years ago. How come you ain't there yet?" Don't be ashamed while you wait on God. I tell you what all these had in common. Zechariah, Mary, Elizabeth, David, Paul, Silas, they all praised Him while they were waiting. In fact, if you look in the Bible, you'll see that when people wait, they renewed their strength, they rested, they hoped, they expected. Don't wane while you wait. Wax while you wait. Lord, teach me that You are not in a hurry. Teach me, Lord, that I'm waiting on this healing and I'm waiting on this spouse and I'm waiting on this phone call and I'm waiting on this ministry. That waiting in the wilderness is as much of a part of Your will in my life as the day that You manifest those promises to me. Pastor, thank you.